Father, we just thank you for your word, and we pray now that you would give us hearts that are open to be able to receive whatever the word is you would have for each one of us. Make us yielding and humble, and transform us more into the image of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So a few months ago, Simi and I hiked the Grand Canyon. And we set out early in the morning, reaching the trailhead around sunrise. And the hike started up pretty easy. It was beautiful. We descended downward, and there was the morning breeze, and it seemed, this is going to be a piece of cake. But it soon turned into this dry, merciless heat as we descended downward. And I noticed I was becoming slightly lightheaded as the early signs of heat exhaustion set in. Well, eventually made it to the bottom, but it was getting very hot. In fact, at the bottom of the canyon, it was 100 degrees at least. And I was wondering if we, or should I say I, would be able to make it all the way up in that heat. And it was only going to get worse. But I couldn't let my son down. So after drinking an electrolyte solution, I chose to continue onward. And for a while, I felt refreshed. I felt good. It was great being with my son and spending that time with him. And then I took a step forward, and the sole of my boot fell off. Yeah. And now with only the lining of the boot separating my foot from this rocky ground, I wondered how long it would be before I'd be in barefoot on this pavement. My pace began to slow dramatically. And how am I going to get up this thing? And just when I was ready to give up, the Lord gave me a word from Deuteronomy, and it was this word: during the 40 years that I led you in the wilderness, your sandals did not wear out on your feet. And for the rest of the afternoon, I just kept praying that same prayer that this lining would hold up. Well, hours later, as the sun was setting, trudging forward, I made it to the top, exhausted and blister laden, but I made it. And life often works that way, doesn't it? You know, we have these moments where everything's going well, and then we face all kinds of trials that make life grueling. And at that moment, our faith is most challenged. The key to breakthrough and getting to the other side is a persistent faith in Christ. And that's the only way to get through in this life, as we'll see today. And I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 15, 21 to 28. So let me just kind of tell you the scene of this passage. So having encountered enormous hostility amongst the Jewish leaders, Jesus and his disciples withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, withdrawal narratives like this are common in the Gospels, but what's unusual about this one is that Jesus led them outside of Jewish territory. This was not a mission to pagan cities, but it was a retreat to a place where Jesus could get away from Jewish opposition. And I think it reveals just how dangerous his ministry had become. Now, the Old Testament prophets frequently condemned Tyre and Sidon as entrenched enemies of Israel. Matthew emphasizes this here by describing the Canaanite, the woman here, as a Canaanite, the most treacherous of Israel's enemies, whose idolatry had been a constant threat to Israel's religious purity. Now, the Canaanite woman had given birth to a beautiful daughter, and then the unthinkable happened. She began to change. She acted violently, yelling out inappropriate, even vulgar things. And the woman knew exactly what was wrong. Her daughter was possessed by a demon. And using all the resources at her disposal, she tried to have the demon exorcised. But each time, the demon came back even more powerful. You know, people often ask, well, can Christians be possessed? And by possessed, they generally mean, is it possible to just lose control as demons take residence over our bodies? And the answer is to that, no. Christians can't be possessed because they have the covering of the Holy Spirit. But they can be oppressed by giving demons access to their lives. So I once traveled to Tibet with a friend of mine, and it's a land kind of teeming with Buddhist temples and filled with all kinds of Buddhist images and the smell of spicy incense. And we visited dozens of these Buddhist temples while we were there. We even stayed in a monastery up high in the Himalayas near the base camp of Mount Everest. And when I got back, I just felt this distress over me. And I just prayed to the Lord, well, Lord, what's going on? Why do I feel so much agitation? And the Lord revealed to me that I had surrounded myself with all these demons and that these images were not benign things, but carriers of demonic powers. And in visiting those places, I had inadvertently opened myself up and gave them rights to my life. And so the moment I understood this, I confessed that it was sin to having visited those temples. And I repented and I told the Lord I would never go into another one again. And something happened at that moment. All the agitation left. I felt free. What had happened? Well, in repenting, those demonic powers no longer had rights to my life, and they departed. And so here's a lesson for all of us. Whenever we're engaged in sinful activity, whatever it might be, we give demons rights to our lives. And while they don't control us, they can create havoc in our lives. And that's why it's important to confess and repent of sin rapidly. If you feel like something is off, take the time to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what is this? Is there something wrong? Is there something that I need to eradicate in my life? And if you see something there, confess it, repent it, and run away from it. Well, it's in this account of the Canaanite woman. It's clear from the original Greek that we're not just talking about oppression, but we're talking about a daughter who was indeed possessed by a demon. Now, you can imagine how distressed this woman must have been. All the hopes that she had in her daughter, the great future, had now vanished. And her life became consumed with dealing with the exploits and protection of her precious one. Now, many of you might be able to relate to this woman. You remember a time when things were going well, and then everything fell apart. And it might have been a diagnosis of a disease, or being laid off from work, or the death of a loved one. And the truth is that no matter who you are, at some point you will face hardship or trials that will take you beyond the limits of your resources. But the Canaanite woman's situation began to look up. She woke up one morning to the sounds of commotion, and she quickly got dressed and asked the first person she saw, "What's going on here?" And she was told that Jesus of Nazareth is coming. And she knew the name of Jesus. Everyone did. You know, he's the one that healed the sick, that cast out demons, and even raised the dead. And immediately she went out searching for him. She was now convinced that her daughter would be healed. And when she saw him, she ran out crying loud, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." But Jesus ignored her. And his disciples begged him to send her away. And then Jesus coldly responded, Well, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Imagine the disappointment she must have felt. You know, this encounter causes us understandable concern. Jesus appeared insensitive, uncompassionate, even downright rude in the way that he treated her. Suddenly, all this woman's hope were swept away by a few words. And all of us have been there too. We believe that God was going to do something in our lives, help us, heal us in some way, but then he didn't come through. And in those times, it's easy just to get discouraged, to give up on God, and to lose faith. And if it persists, discouragement can be transformed into disillusionment, and disillusionment into hopelessness, and hopelessness into despair. And that's a dangerous place to be. Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps has won 28 Olympic medals, competing in multiple Olympics. But what you may not know is that after every one of them, he fell into a major state of depression. After the 2012 games, Phelps faced an even deeper spell of depression, and he shut himself in his room for 4 to 5 days contemplating suicide. Phelps said, "I didn't want to be alive anymore. I was very good at compartmentalizing things and suffering and stuffing things away that I didn't want to talk about. I didn't want to deal with, and I didn't want to bring up. I just never wanted to see those things." What Phelps apparently didn't understand is that he wasn't just dealing with a voice or a desire or a feeling, but he was facing an evil enemy that sought to destroy him and, in fact, each one of us. And he's known as Satan or the devil. And when we become discouraged or disillusioned, we let that voice gain power over us. Discouragement is a faith killer. But there are many others faith killers as well, like pride, putting ourselves in the center of every situation, or negativism, projecting the worst reality on faith, or skepticism, always questioning faith, or lack of forgiveness, the inability to forgive those who have hurt us. But this Canaanite woman didn't allow discouragement or any other faith killer to overtake her. She was a woman with a genuine faith in Jesus and would not let herself get discouraged. After her initial rejection, she came closer to Jesus and humbly knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me." And this teaches us an important lesson. Faith is active, not passive. Faith is not something in the background that you mentally acquiesce to. It is something that you physically engage in, especially when the going gets rough. If you have to stop a car suddenly, it's not enough merely to have brakes, but you have to push them down to stop the car. And the same is true with faith. Life's challenges require leaning into faith and persistently trusting the Lord. And that's exactly what this Canaanite woman did. And again, Jesus rebuffed her, this time insulting her, calling her a dog. I mean, it's one of the cruelest, most offensive things he could have said at that time. But once again, she did not allow pride or discouragement to shut her down, but she persisted in her faith. She was convinced that Jesus and only Jesus could save her and her family. You know, Paul describes the benefits of persevering in faith this way in Romans chapter 5, 3. He writes, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Indeed, Jesus will commend the Canaanite woman at the end of this passage with, "O woman, great is your faith." And similarly, we need to endure in our faith to get through trying times that we will inevitably face. And that's especially true in the life of our church family right now, as we await the Lord to direct our steps toward the mission field he's calling us to. We've been waiting for a long time. I mean, years. Thank you for not giving up and becoming discouraged. Your persistence in faith is bearing fruit that will become visible one day. The Canaanite woman teaches us some important lessons on how to endure at this time. First, faith requires taking the time to remember the faithfulness of God. Just as the woman held on to the stories of Jesus' healings, so must we keep before us the faithfulness of God. Yesterday, we had a celebration of life service for Nancy Anderson, a faithful member of this church for many years. And several years ago, she had received a diagnosis of stage 4 cancer. And when she first heard the diagnosis, she was naturally distraught. But rather than becoming depressed, she remembered the Lord's faithfulness in the past. And the Lord spoke to her, saying that he would not let this be her end. His words enabled her to endure in faith, no matter what the doctors would tell her from that point forward. And if you saw her during this multi-year journey, you would not have found a woman filled with fear, but a woman at peace, because her eyes were on Jesus. Second, the Canaanite woman teaches us that practicing humility is one of the most precious ways that we can persist in faith. When Jesus initially rejected her, she didn't fret, she didn't complain or get defensive, but she knelt down before the Lord. The fact of the matter is that if we don't get an immediate answer from the Lord, there's often no other place for us to turn. Humbling ourselves before the Lord is a way to persist in faith. We might want to prostrate ourselves on the ground the way this woman did. Or we might choose to engage in an extended fast. Both are acts of humility. And finally, the Canaanite woman endured in her faith through her boldness. After 2 setbacks, the woman continued to make her request boldly. She would not allow rejection or insult to keep her from brazenly asking the only one she knew who could heal her daughter. We may not like the way Jesus went about this, but through his methods, a woman of great faith was revealed that day. And to this day, continues to be a woman who exemplified how to persist in faith until she received what she longed for the most. And so, St. James, let us follow in the persistent faith of this remarkable Canaanite woman by humbling ourselves and not allowing any circumstances at this time to discourage us. Amen.